Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Shawn Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show, and Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. We are discussing Black Wall Street is the blueprint. Now, before the Tulsa race massacre was happened, well, by a white mob, which resulted in 2 days of bloodshed and destruction, the city's Black district of Greenwood was the most affluent Black community in the United States for the early part of the 20th century. Greenwood district at the time had a population of 10,000. Greenwood Avenue was the epicenter of Black business and culture known as Black Wall Street. It was founded in 1906. Former slaves of tribes integrated into tribal communities acquired allotted land in Greenwood through the Dogs Act, a U.S. law that gave land to individual Native Americans. Black sharecroppers fleeing racial oppression relocated to the region in search of a better life. The largest number of Black townships after the Civil War were located in Oklahoma between 1865 and 1920. What makes Greenwood special is that it was built for Black people by Black people, and it became self-contained and reliant. And Justin, what would you like to comment?
Well, I know you and I, you know, when we were discussing the topic for this evening, you know, we talked about, you know, if Black Wall Street is the blueprint. How do we replicate it? How do we, you know, back, if you was to, you know, quote unquote, call it out, like, in that type of manner, right?
Right.
And like, you know, one of the things that we was discussing, my thing is, Black Wall Street was the only possible, you know, for one reason only, in a blueprint, from my perspective, that we have to take from Black Wall Street is a common misconception that a lot of people are not doing. We talk about it, but we're not doing. So when we look at Black Wall Street, and we look at the economic systems that they put together there in Tulsa, you know, you got to realize they had Black banks, Black dentists, Black doctors, you know, everything that a person could possibly need, grocery stores. If you need your shoes done, they had a leather mason there. You know, if you needed something done with your horse, they had a horse trainer there. You know, they owned wheat. They all these things, right? All these essential things for life to be able to prosper. And then, taking it a step further, they were surrounded by white people who refuses to buy or sell to them, which is bad economics, you know, for the white people, right? Because what happened is that Black people were not only the labor at the time, you know, coming out of slavery, they were the massive laborers. You know, they the one that had the actual handset and skills. But on top of that, when they couldn't go to these white stores, they built their own. And they had pride in their stuff, you know, and they started to build wealth. And so, like, when the surrounding, you know, cities was very jealous, they was like, how is these Negroes, you know, doing better than we are, right? And so one of the things that we got to take from that blueprint is that they shop with each other. How long did it take for that dollar to lead a Black community? Right now, you know that a Black dollar don't even stay in a Black community more than not even five seconds, you know? Like there, it took, you know, it was over
year.
I forget the exact number, but like, you know, the dollar circulated.
Before a dollar left their community, it took a year. It circulated in that community for an entire year before it left.
And what about now?
Well, it's different now.
You know, okay. I tell you this, the lifespan of a dollar in the Asian community is 26 days. In a Jewish community, the lifespan of a dollar is 19 days. And the lifespan of a dollar in African-American community is about 6 hours. You know, we can't even get a half a day. You know, we got a caller that we definitely want to get in here, 5073. Do you have a question, comment, something you want to add to the conversation? 5073.
Yeah, because I got to get out of here quick. I think we could still have a Black Wall Street because we the ones spending the money. And all we have to do is engineer it back into our own community. We got to learn how to stay in our own community instead of tearing it down and tearing it up. We need rebuilding what we have and take more value in our property that we do own. And I think if Black people would start buying up, we got Black, what you call people who are in agriculture and doing sort of, they could do a whole lot better if Black people would just buy or they would open up stores themselves and we take all our initiatives and only shop with Black-owned businesses. And see, we're so scattered around the country, we need to start staying in maybe just certain areas and find out who they are and who has what products that we could use that are totally Black-owned. But we don't do that. We just take whatever's offered to us in our neighborhood. And sometimes they have it listed as ethnics, and we just go where we can find Black commodities, but we don't find out who owns those. And we just need to start, or shall I say, stop talking about it, as you mentioned, and start doing about it. Even if you have to mail it, you can get stuff online just like anybody else. But until we start doing that ourselves, we can just shut up, because we're the only one really spending the money. That's why white people are rich. We buy everything they put out.
That is true. We are known as consumers.
Right. And nobody else, they saving their money.
I want to interject really quick, you know, and like, you know, to talk about, you know, that for a quick second, you know, about us being consumers, you know. The biggest issue, you know, they actually came out with a blueprint on how to sell to a Black person. You know, like
I read it.
And my whole thing is that, like, I'm not going to be one, like, always dissing down. Like, there's huge movements going on right now. One of the movements I want to use this platform to shed some light on is moving your money to Black banks. If you have the opportunity, go and start an account with a Black bank. I don't care if it's online or in person. Move your money into a Black bank. Because once we can start controlling our own economics, at that point, you know, we start controlling our own sales. You know, just to piggyback a little bit off of what the caller was saying, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. Not a friend of mine. Actually, it was my nephew. And one of the things we was talking about was living a debt-free life, you know, and that comes back to us as parents. We have to set our kids up for a debt-free life, you know. What does that mean? How can we as parents set our kids up for a debt-free life? In order to create our own Black Wall Street, we have to start building wealth. You know, and not just any kind of wealth. We got to start building wealth that is going to transfer to our seeds, to our children. You know, buy a house, you know, pay the house off, pay off all the taxes. So that way, you know, God forbid you leave this earth, guess what? The house is still owned by the family. You know, guess what? while you're working and you having your kids, guess what? You can't be putting money aside to help put a down payment on your kid's house. You know, help them to get ready to be able to make their first home purchase. You know, teach them the works, walk them through it. Go through it so that way you already been through it once and you can show them where you messed up at, you know. Like, these are some of the things that we have to do in order to get it past that wealth down, not just houses, but also land. We have to start buying up land, you know. At the end of the day, that's one commodity ain't nobody making any more of, right? Third, not even just with houses, not even just with the property, but we got to start opening up our own businesses. You know, we got to start being the bosses. We got to start being the owners. And we got to start, you know, putting some respect on that. You know, putting some pride, you know, on that. One of the things that I absolutely hate, is when a black owner is screaming out, you know, shop black. You go to their store to shop, and it's completely unprofessional. And I'm not saying professional as in white people standards, but I'm saying it's unprofessional as in, you know, you say you're open from 8 to 6, and I get there at 12, and ain't nobody there. You know, it's closed. You close it early, open it late. Like, we got to make sure we're doing good businesses ourselves. You know, we got to make sure we're conducting ourselves that it makes sense for people to shop with us, whether they're white or black or any other ethnicity. We got to start doing stuff where it makes sense business-wise that we're going to be profitable, you know. Two, when it comes to prices, I've been to black businesses where their prices is way higher than everyone else's. They want us to pay a higher premium just because they're black, you know. It's like, yo, it is what it is. And second thing is, as black consumers, we got to stop expecting discounts from black businesses. You know, they need their money, too. You ain't going to walk up into an Apple store talking about, yo, I want to get 4 iPhones. If I buy 3, why don't you give me the 4th one for free? You know, obviously Apple come out with different promos and stuff like that. But, like, we got to stop expecting, you know, to get,
okay,
you know, just because it's Blackstone for
in.
The cheaper.
I'll
jump in. Jump in. Yeah.
Okay, because yeah. I had went to a hair shop, and I asked the owner about, like, one of her prices, because it was, she had something in there that I would normally buy. But it was three times the price that I was getting it somewhere else. So, of course,
right.
I'm like, I'm not going to get it here. So I asked her, I said, why is this price so high? And she told me it's because she was a small business owner, and the place that I had gotten it from, it has a chain. And the more quantity you buy, the bigger discount you get. So therefore, it cost her more to get it. So she couldn't charge that lower price at the other store. And it wasn't because she was just charging that much more just to be charging that much more. She paid more.
Right. Right.
Because she couldn't do the volume that the chain stores are doing to get a bigger discount. So sometimes 100%. It's not because they're trying to make it higher to get more money out of you. Sometimes it costs them more to get it because they can't buy the volume that these big chain stores get discount.
100%, that's 100% factual as well. And that's one of the things I was thinking about earlier. You know, funny that you even bring it up, because I was getting ready to bring that up because I love that. But yeah, that's just economics. We talked about that in my, you know, in my undergrad, you know, the scales of economics and how, you know, that type of business is conducted. What I would, you know, suggest to, you know, that person is that they link up with, especially if they want to, you know, promote black, they link up with other black beauty hair salons around the country, around the world. You know, the thing is now, what's so special is that we have the internet. We are connected. You know,
right.
If she takes her money and put it together, not even just a
chain,
not even just a chain. Like, my whole thing is, they don't even have to start a whole chain. They don't even have to go with
an exchange. An exchange. Just
yeah,
like
I mean, what they could do. Yeah. They could put their money together. A lot of small businesses coming together. A lot of small businesses coming together that's in the same industry, in the exact same industry. Instead of competing against each other in a local area, they recognize they compete against each other on an online platform. But what they do is they put their money together so they can make bigger purchases. So that way it's the same thing all of them need, so they're able to get it at a lesser cost. You know, that's just being a savvy business person, you know. And realistically, we need to have black consultants. We need black businesses hiring black consultants to help them run their business better and more efficiently, you know. And what we also have to do is swallow our pride, you know, and be able to accept that help, be able to accept that information so that we can progress. You know, like, we got to realize we don't know it all, you know. And then, two, we got to trust in ourselves. You know, regardless of someone telling you to do the opposite, if you feel what you feel 10 toes down, stand on that. You know, like, that's very important when it comes to business. Like, but at the end of the day, Black Wall Street, do I believe Black Wall Street can be, you know, achieved again? I think it's already been achieved again. There's neighborhoods in Georgia right now, all mansions, black people. Like, I remember I went there to go visit my uncle Ephraim, and we rolled around his neighborhoods looking at all these different mansions, you know. Mansion on the right, mansion on the left, pass up another mansion. And he like, you think white folks live here, don't you? So I was like, look like a white neighborhood to me, you know. And he like, nah, all this right here is black. All of it. All these are black people. You know, and one more thing, we got to acknowledge the trend of the industry. You know, we got to look at McDonald's ain't gonna give you enough money. You know, they're gonna give you enough money to stay at McDonald's. Is what they're gonna do. You know what I mean? Hardee's gonna give you enough money to stay at Hardee's. You know. All these different little jobs here and there, we got to look at some other stuff. Because right now, I tell you something that is really lacking in the black community that is not really being talked about, that needs to be talked about way more, and we need to be pushing our kids to do way more right out of the gate in middle school, is computer science. The money is there. You know, like, honestly, for me, I want all my kids to get computer science degrees, every one of them. And the main reason is, at the end of the day, whatever it is you want to do, you're going to use some form of computer science, period. And that's only going to get more and more and more. And they're making, just working for somebody, you know, $100,000, $300,000. Now, if you're owning those business, you're coming out millions plus. I always tell people, you know, we got to stop looking, you know, at the tree and look at that forest and go get all that. And just by saying, I do want to bring in 1-2-3-3. 1-2-3-3, you got a question or comment, some substance you want to bring into this conversation?
Hi. Yes, I have a comment.
What's up, 1-2-3-3?
My comment is about Black Wall Street. I think it possibly could be accomplished. But I think the issue with Black Wall Street is, at the time Black Wall Street occurred, black people weren't allowed into other businesses by white people. And so now black people, even if they want to do something, like, black people, I feel like, are too opening to other races. So I don't really know if black people could just stick to buying from black people or supporting black people. Because it seems like black people, they want to jump on the bandwagon of somebody else, of another race, instead of just supporting themselves.
And Caller, I 100% agree with you. I feel like that kind of like ties into what I was talking about at first, where I was talking about the most important thing it's going to take in order for us to recreate Black Wall Streets all over black communities in the United States, is that we got to start practicing race economics. You know, that's every other race is doing it. You go to an Asian store, all Asians work there. You know, you go to a Spanish store, all Spanish people work in there. And they all cousins or families or whatever. You know, if we go into a black restaurant, I mean, not black restaurant, but a black store or a black business, we need to be hiring black. But we got to be the best. I can honestly sit here and say, you know, not from my own experience because I didn't live back then, you know, but from listening to my grandparents, you know, and watching films about that time period, you know, we had more respect for ourselves then. You know, like we value our work, our word, and our family, you know. And I have seen a lot of that diminish. You know, my thing is, as people, we got to get up and go to work, and we got to be able to give value work. It can't just be I'm punching this clock. I get it, if you're at a dead-end job, yeah, I get it. You about to hit your retirement, you know. It is what it is, you know. But, like, if we're going to buy black, we want to have the best. Because not only do we want to buy black, we want everyone else to buy our product. We want our product to be the best.
Okay. I have a question.
Right?
I mean, I've probably said this before. I have a question for the host. So when you're talking about Black Wall Street keeping the money in the black community, do you guys think, like, interracial couples are, like, going to hinder that? Because you'll probably end up taking the money out of the black community.
You asking me or are you asking Michelle?
The host.
It depends. Oh. Okay, it depends on the couple. Because there are some interracial couples who live in the black neighborhood. And then there are others who live in the other neighborhoods. But I think it all depends on how they look at things. And I think it depends on a lot how the couple is perceived in different establishments.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. As far as mixed relationships, how I feel about it, you know, you're black. I remember I went to school with this girl. She was mixed. Mama white, daddy black. Okay? Pretty girl. She had nice size. Like, she had an athletic build to her. She was a beast at softball.
What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
You will see. You will see when I get finished. She was a beast at softball, you know. And one of the things about this person, though, was that she was very anti-black. You know, she was, I'm not black, I'm mixed. All throughout high school, you know, horrible personality. You know, as a person, I feel like I would rate her as an F, you know. Now, fast forward, you know, 10 years later, it's, oh, George Floyd, we got a black this, black that. I've been experiencing this all my life. I said, I remember she made a post. I said, whoa, what happened to you not being black? You being mixed. Now, that's all you said in high school, you know. So, like, my thing is that we got to, one, stop trying to cut her. I feel like, you know, like I told her back then, you know, you're black. At the end of the day, the police see you, they're going to treat you black. You might be a female, so they might not treat you the same as they treat a black male. They're going to treat you like you black at the end of the day. So us as people, we can't get into that Willie Lynch notion of, oh, this person's mixed, so they got lighter skin, you know, we're going to hate on them, because that just falls right back into the cycle of that Willie Lynch, separating ourselves. You know, we got to be able to stay strong. We're stronger together than we are divided, you know, at the end of the day. So
I mean,
that's
they
what
don't
I think
want to
about,
be
you know,
included, don't include them.
Person
I
as
mean,
black.
Obviously, yeah. If they don't want to be included, don't include them. But at the end of the day, our mindset at the end of the day still got to be, you know, I'm still going to look out for my black people. You know, even
I mean,
if they
I
don't
feel
look
like
out for themselves.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Why? That's what
so
white people do. That's what Asians do.
See themselves as black. Okay, if there's a mixed person that says, F the black community. I mean, F them back. No, we're not going to look out for you. You're not with us. I mean, that's the problem with black people now. We always open in our arms.
Everybody.
So forgiving. It's like that is the problem.
It is a problem.
If they're not with you, they're not with you.
I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in here and say I agree and disagree, okay? And the reason why I'm going to say I agree and disagree is because, like, from my experience.
What do you disagree about?
I'm going to have to tell you. From my experience, you know, black people have been very forgiving to people outside of their race, you know, people outside of their family, you know. But when it comes down to their own race or their own family, they very hard to forgive. I swear, I mean, it's some aunties and some uncles that's too proud to give apologies right now. You know, it's some a lot of families, you know, broke down right now just because of that. You know what I'm saying? So I agree, like, you know, when the cop came into dude's house, eating a bowl of ice cream, she shot him. At the end of the trial, his brother going to hug her. Somehow I'm like, nigga, if you don't get your stupid ass up out of here, I swear to God, if that was my brother, man, we would have to box. I will haunt you for the rest of your fucking life, you know? But, like, my thing is, when we turn around back on our own selves, it's like, oh, I remember you stole 50 cents from me, or you didn't do this, or I feel this, or whatever the case may be, and hold that grudge forever, you know? And I want to keep this going. I feel like this is a great flow, but I definitely want to get 6598 in here. 6598, you have a question or comment that you want to bring, some substance that you want to bring to this conversation?
Yes, I do. I'm listening to the conversation, and there's a lot of things that I agree with, and there are some things I'm thinking that could be, you know, worked with. But I do believe that Black Wall Street could be successful if black people were to come together and, you know, take care of their business as far as their communities are concerned and uplift their black businesses. I was listening to you all talk about the business aspect and, you know, there being other people, you know, in our community, you know, speaking on interracial couples and different things like that. Regardless of anyone being an interracial couple or anything, if they live in our black community, they're a part of our black dollars. So that right there to me is kind of out of the way because if they're living in our neighborhood, they're paying our taxes just like we are. But at the same time, looking at the businesses, you know, when you were stating, I guess Michonne was stating about the black entrepreneur who had to purchase products, you know, at a higher price because she couldn't get the volume. And you speaking, Justin, on the fact that black businesses need to come together and network, therefore they can purchase products together. And that is true. A lot of businesses can come together and network together and purchase products. That way they can bring the prices down for African-Americans in our own neighborhood. But also I'm looking at our neighborhood and everybody, when you say everybody else is in our neighborhood, and those are people who do not live in our neighborhood, but they have businesses there. We must understand that those products that they are selling to us, those are the products that we are wanting and that we've been wearing. And the thing is that we need to get our products out of their hands or make them ourselves and open our businesses and compete with them because it brings our dollars home, especially if a person lives in that neighborhood and they're going to sell in our neighborhood and
you
put the money back into our neighborhood.
Somebody's in your neighborhood. You don't have to patronize their business because
that is true. But the thing is, because they're going to.
If you don't shop there, they will go out of business. And that's what black people
need. That is true. They will go out of business, but at the time that they're still there, people are still going to come to them because it's convenient.
I saw this happen.
Carroll, Illinois, did that and shut Carroll down. They went outside of their neighborhood and bought stuff. And they shut them white people down in Carroll, and they haven't gotten back on their feet yet. You can't
shut down
in your neighborhood.
Okay, in Carterville, Illinois, some Indians brought a gas station. It used to be Huck's. They bought it, and they opened up a gas station, convenience store. Nobody white in that town would go to that gas station and buy anything from them.
Mm-hmm.
A few months later, they was out of business, sold the place way cheaper than what they got it, and had to move on. Because guess what? When they came to that area, they just refused to even buy nobody. They didn't go get gas from them. They didn't go to their stores or anything, and put them straight out of business, and they left.
At first, speaking on the Carterville business, they were going there at first, but until that happened across seas with, until it happened on our land with 9/11, that's when they stopped patronizing the store. And then that's when it closed down because they refused to go there.
It was not around 9/11 at the time, and that's only open for 3 months. That was it.
They were there for longer than 3 months.
This one was not, I don't know which one you're talking about, but the one I'm referring to.
I'm talking about the same store that you're speaking of.
They were only there 3 months. That's it.
That was around the time of 9/11.
And that's
well,
get them out.
What like I'm talking about. Was, because they were not Arabs. These were Indians, people from India. They weren't Arabs.
We have
nothing to do with that.
We got four nine three two.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey.
Hey.
How
hey,
we doing?
How y'all doing?
All right.
I want to say, first of all, price should not be a thing. Service should be a thing. That's number one. Most reasons why black people don't patronize other black people is because of the service. I know one thing. I'm more expensive than the regular Joe Blow across the street, but, hey, I got to pay for all my facilities. I got to pay for all my utilities. I got to pay for my people, which are black. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And plus, you have to pay for all the knowledge and stuff that I gain. You don't pay for, I ain't paying for, if I'm going to pay, I want that person that's going to do that job. Okay?
Right.
I will skip over other businesses to go to black businesses. And we all should have to have that on code thinking of black first. Black first means buy black first. Black first means take care of black first. Black first means to always be mindful of black first. And that's what a lot of people don't do.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
So you're a businessman, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let me throw a business idea out there, all right?
Do that.
Tulsa, Black Wall Street, was a population of 10,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if we was able, and we were talking about making Black Wall Street thrive, right? And how do we redo that? If you get 10,000 people, period, to move in one direction, you're going to see some success, right? If we had 10,000 black people was able to commit to put a dollar a day together, every day that's $10,000. That same money can be turned around and put into a someone's hands to help them for a down payment on a house or start a business, and they can repay that same loan, and we could generate Black Wall Street. You know, people think you got to have this absurd amount of money. The biggest issue for black people in the black community has always been the startup fee. You know, they always try to make
black
that barrier to entry so high.
I have to disagree with you. I have to disagree with you on 2 points. The thing about it is the biggest problem with most black people is they are uncomfortable with leaving they pay math. That's number one. They are very uncomfortable of stepping out. Number one. Number two, you got your family at home telling you, killing your dream. There's a bunch of dream killing people at home.
Find
your own damn mother. And then you get, if you're a man, your wife. If you're a female, it's your husband. Then you got, you know, you got everything that goes and kills your dream. Okay? The startup, most people can get startup. Most jobs, most businesses. I started my business with at my house. I started at like $1,700. I borrowed from my 401. I was like, okay, this is the time that I got to go ahead and take advantage of the situation. So I started at home. But I was still scared to leave my job, okay? There were so many things going on at the job, and by the time I started, I kind of got to a point where I was like, do I really want to still walk these halls? Do I still want to give my body up for another individual to become a walking around halfway where I can't move anymore? There was so much contamination in there, and most of the black people there were dying before they could retire. And I can remember my last day. I remember it well because when I went in there, I didn't go in there with in mind of being my last day, because I had people in place that was at the shop to run my shop. But I just, like, something in my head was like, dude, you don't want to be here. And, hey, the thing about it is, you have to first get that in your head that, look, I can do it without you. I can perform my own duties without you, you know. And originally, when I first started my business, I had the same mindset as most people who start up, and it's a detailing business. Most people, especially black people, think that it's all about how many cars you do. But as I've grown and learned, it's all about your what it looks like when you get it done. And that's the whole mindset that people have. I go up here, around the corner from me, there's the old Asian, and he's always packed full of niggas all up in there looking dead at them, you know, packed full of them. And you can go a couple of blocks down to the black man that got the same thing, and you will see one, maybe two people up in there. And I ask people who go over there to the Asian side, why are y'all over here? Oh, because it's cheaper. I'm like, so you rather feed them, which you will never see that money, than feed your own people. See, that's a non-black first attitude. But, yeah, that's the very first thing is stop being scared. Get off your ass and do it.
I know that's right.
I agree. And I do want to mention, as I was saying before, what Greenwood, the Black Wall Street, they did have a system to help people. There was a man, his name was O.D. Gurley. He was a black landowner, and he purchased 40 acres of land in Tulsa. And he's the one who named it Greenwood after a town in Mississippi. And Gurley is credited with having the first black business in Greenwood in 1906, and he started a boarding house for black people. And Gurley would also loan money to people who wanted to start a business, and they actually did have a system where somebody who wanted to own a business could get help in doing that. So they had all that already set up.
Here's another thing that's different versus now. Back then, we had to have our own shops because you couldn't shop at their shops then. It didn't matter who it was. as a black person, you can only go to your to the black shops. Integration and the fact that we don't have our own anything like media has killed the black business. It's it's like you can't get the word out because you have to go through them to get the word out. And black people also think, oh, I'm getting it from Louis Vuitton or Gucci or whoever, and thinking just because these white fools then charge you $500 that you got the best stuff. I've seen that shit fall apart instantly, you know. And again, like I said, it's more about service than, to me, than, you know, expense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are there any other business owners, entrepreneurs that are listening? If you are, dial 516-531-9540 and press, or anybody else that has a comment.
We do have 5240.
Okay.
5240.
Oh, yes. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, 5240. How you doing?
That's good. Working a lot. You know, everybody hiring, so. Over time, we got up in that. But, like, the show is a good show. The show is a good show. Tonight, and you know, I was listening earlier when you talked about economics and African Americans working together, and you know, that sounds good. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it sounds good. But I think we can be done. It's just got to be more, a lot of hard work on our effort, because you know, we, like I said, the envy, jealous, and all that, and I hate to keep bringing that up, but it's true, you know. But like I said, I want us to get together and you know, work together and buy stuff. But you know, like I said, I know some babies who selling sandals and doing some other stuff, but guess what, they had to go buy these van brand sandals from you know, some other stuff. And the black lady, she's doing some good sandals with her own design and all that, but she on Facebook, but she still do a little bit because everybody gonna want you know, get their products from elsewhere, you know, and then the jealous will take over. But they doing better than me, they doing better than me. But like I said, it's a good show. And I really, you know, hope, you know, you start a business and you know, we work together on that and, you know, build our stuff up. But like I said, I think it's just one step at a time for every individual who owns a business and for Black Wall Street. But hopefully, you know, we get it together and, you know, it goes straight. But like I said, you know, we still got a lot of work to do because we're still doing a lot of foolish stuff online and other stuff, and so like I said, it's a good show tonight. You know, I'm really digging it, but like I said, you know, we still got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
Well, thank you. I have another question for you. In your area, mm-hmm. where you live, is there a lot of black businesses?
Not phenomenal in my area, no, because I stay out.
Okay, what about where you're from?
Daddy?
Yes, a few, but they still go to, not that many. It's most like restaurants, black restaurants, but it's still run by the A-Rab, the Asians, and all the other stores, you know, for us. The hair things in the inner city and the bars and all that. And, you know, when I go back home, you know, it's in the hood. It's still in by the agents and by the A-Raps.
Okay, I have another
question
for you. Because obviously you sound like somebody who's building generational wealth. Can I ask you a personal question? Are you a homeowner?
Yeah.
Are you a homeowner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that is definitely good to know. And I would like to ask you another question. Have you talked to your children about, you know, one day becoming homeowners or, you know, what they need to do?
Yes. Yes, I've been talking to them, you know, a couple of years, and, you know, they're working on that. But right now, it's a seller's market out here. It's not a buyer's market.
Right.
So right now, like, and even in Florida, for every house go up, you got, like, 20 or 30 people bidding on that house because the housing market, like, for the partner of mine, he just wanted a house. The house was, like, at 230, but he ended up paying 255 because guess what? He had to outbid everybody else for the house. But his wife wanted it so bad, so he had to out. So now you got to spend $30,000 to $40,000 extra. And see, your house might be $240,000 when they finish it, but you might spend $280,000 to $300,000 on it because you got to outbid everybody up for it now.
Right.
And right now, so basically, if I was anybody, like I told my daughter, okay, you're making good money, you just got to hold out. You know, even though I know rent going up, but you just got to hold out. And because it always going to come back down where it's going to be a buyer's market again for those who hold out. You know, I just told you just got to learn how to hold out. And when it's going to be, I don't know. But if you hold out, you're going to win the lottery ticket on the house. And that's what I did. We held out. I think our house was going for $2 something. And, you know, we just held out. And we got it for $149. Same design, same bedroom. We just hold out when the economy went bad and people start going to foreclosing homes. We went right back to a subdivision, and the lady said, "Oh, the house ain't 229, it's 140 something." Like, damn, that's the house we wanted anyway. Okay, bam, let's sign us up.
Okay, that's good. Smart of you, that's watching the market.
Yeah. So if you just like right now, but that's everywhere because it's like 30-something thousand people moving to Florida every day or every week. I don't know, something like a week or something like that, but I'm saying is wherever they've been in that night, it's getting very populated, so it's not going to be as cheap as it used to be because of so many people flooding now. But, you know, rent going up, even in the hood. I was just thinking about it, you know, hood where the drug dealers at. And prostitutes, I know where I used to stay years ago, that department still the same. I was paying like $207 a month. It's a year, this is in the 90s. But the same apartment now, still in the hood, $950. I ain't did shit to it. It's $950 now. So that tells me that, you know, it's getting to be real rough out here. You know what I mean? And they always
right.
Selling out. They ain't got no spots left. So that tells me, and everywhere else you go, you know what I mean? Another apartment I had, it was $650. You know, I know $450, even a couple of years ago in the early 2000s. Now that's going for what, $1,200? Same little spot. So, I mean, you know, right now it's just a boom and everybody looking for a place to stay and a lot of new construction going up, but it's like $1,500, $1,600 now for one or two bedrooms. So you just have to wait it out.
Okay. Well, that was smart advice you gave your children. Have any more?
Yeah, I tell anybody. Yeah, you just got to wait it out nowadays, you know, and like sit and build them wealth and strike at the right time, you know. So, like right now, you know, I know where a lot of people at is just, you know, right now mortgage is high everywhere. You know, it used to be cheap in Florida, but it's on the rise, sky high now. So you just, I thought, you know, just wait it out or just find a good bargain. And then, like I said, African Americans, when somebody's leaving or something, we got to take advantage of it. I've known, you know, women years ago, they had left two women a house. We've been there all our life. We don't want that house. And all that. I tell you what, white guy bought the house for little or nothing, did some work to it, been renting it out for years. So when we got the value and wealth, we got the thing in our head is, you know, let's get the property up and running and let's rent it out. Even if I've been there all my life, I might not want to stay there. But I ain't going to sell it or stop paying my taxes and let the government, I mean, let the city come just get it and take over. I've seen that happen 4 or 5 times.
All right. That is something people need to watch.
That's something, you know, I got some advice on, you know, someone telling me to do. It's like, you know, you get your money together, you want to buy a house, you know, instead of looking at the market, you could be calling up these banks and seeing who's behind on their taxes. So you can just go pay the taxes. You don't even got to tell them, just go pay the taxes. It ain't, and, you know, it's yours. You take over
that
deed.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
You know, my nephew just bought two houses dirt cheap from the banks. Made them dirt cheap offer that he didn't even think they were going to go for. And they went for it. And paid cash. So, okay. Okay, do we have any more people, comments,
questions? We got 9763.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Listen,
hello? Last name Jackson. Last name Jackson, just calling into the show here. I just want to touch on a few things here that, since I came up and listened, I might lose you guys here because I'm in and out of mountains over here. I was listening to one brother there he was speaking of about, how the blacks go and shop at the other shops and not supporting the other black shops and different things like this here. And I just want to say on so many things here when you're talking about things like that here, we need training. I mean, training big time, on how to react with people. If you're going to be a seller, you need to learn how to sell. You need to learn how to have your attitude. Running a business, you can't just go and say you're going to run a business and then you have no experience on running a business and you're going to sit back, you want to run the prices on things. You have to grow first before you can get into that level. But some people come into the game, they want to come in, they want to run the big prices because they see these prices on these other things here, but you still don't have any experience on it. And, I was listening to one brother talking about, buying houses and stuff like this here. People want to buy houses, but, you buy it, but you got to really commit to it. If you want to get something fixed up, you got to commit yourself to it and know this is what you want to do. So you just can't say, I want to buy this here. And like he was saying, that he brought something, and he sit on it, and he didn't do work on it. Well, that's what happened to a lot of places. Even when they started renting some places, they become slumlords. They don't fix places up when they need to bring the value up, because if you brought it at a certain price, and if you get in there and work the place out like you're supposed to work it out, I mean, you can bring the volume up on your place and have volume equity and everything else that's going on. But like I said, again, when you were speaking of black business and stuff like this here, we really need to start training, training mind-wise, because otherwise we ain't never going anywhere. We can't expect anybody to give us something. The best thing I can say, again, we need training. I mean, I don't care if you're going to serve at McDonald's or whatever. They put people in these jobs, and they do not come back and watch them or train them or whatever. And everybody got nasty attitudes.
I agree. 100%.
Like I think I was touching base on that when we was talking about, looking at respect for people and taking pride in their work. I 100% agree with that, 1,000. You say you up in the mountains, you better be careful out there in the mountains now.
I might lose you guys up there. I'm going in and out.
No biggie. We thank you for, contributing to the, to the conversation, and I definitely appreciate that. I 100% agree. We definitely got to have training. That goes back to like etiquette, business etiquette. Like, we got to be able to, provide the service. But like, we got to be the best. I mean, black people, we're known for being the best at everything. Literally everything. I actually had a partner of mine one time. He was a Spanish guy on a debate team with me. And he told me, why people hate seeing black people in a debate, and I said, why? He said, because there's only two kinds of black people that come to these debates. Either they're really bad or they're really good. They're typically nowhere in between. And when they're really good, they're the best. Like, they are the best. And I'm like, yeah, we're black. We're known for being the best. In every sport, we dominated. Whether it was Tiger Woods and they want to contribute that to his Asian side or whatever the case may be. Whatever sport, whatever industry, whatever we ever put our mind to, we have came and we have been the best, So we have to continue to thrive for being the best, because if we're going to, my thing is, you know, kind of, you know, just piggybacking a little bit exactly off of what the last caller was saying, you know, if we're going to sit here and say, okay, we small, our prices are going to be a little bit higher, then guess what? Our customer service got to be so, like, perfect. Like, you got to have a reason for people to want to come to you over there. You can't just say, because I'm black. You got to, you, and that's not saying that we as consumers not going to turn around and say, I want to go to him because he's black. But, like, as a person who's providing the, either the product or the service, you know, you got to have pride in that. You know, you got to be like, I want to go to him even though he's going to charge me more. I know I'm going to get this, this, and this. He's going to treat me like this, this, and this. Or she going to do this, this, and this. Or she going to treat me like this, this, and this. You know, like, we got to be able to be the best and demand excellence from ourselves. Like, we got to stop with, you know, settling. We got to stop settling. You know, we are kings and queens. You know, we deserve to be treated like royalty. And everything that we put our mind to, we can go and get it. And we just got to go do it. We got to put our mind to it and we got to do it. And at the end of the day, we got to make sure quality over quantity, you know, and put pride, you know, into being black, you know, at the end of the day. Because the world's always trying to diminish the black. I mean, black males specifically, but in general, diminish just the value of the color of black. You know, think about it. Everything that
they want on.
We got another one?
4932.
Hey
Ken, I was. That was me.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you
can hear me.
Yeah.
All right. I was just gonna add to kind of what you were saying, and what the customer or the caller was saying before. The main thing is, which I had already said, was making sure that you give service. Service doesn't start. Service starts with that phone call. Service starts with that phone call, and it ends with, I try to teach my guys, it ends with you baby that person from one end of the spectrum, from the sale to the buy to the time that person is leaving. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you know what the problem is. You make sure you know what's going on with your product. Your product is you. Well, it's me, actually. You know what I'm saying? And it also reflects on your pay. You dig? So my thing is, my business right now is killing in numbers comparative to past years. And it's because of two big things. Well, the number one thing is because I upscaled. And the second thing, reason is I have pride myself in customer service, and everybody that comes to us comes because they love our work. Every black person should be that same way in every business.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Customer service is very important.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Does that mean the customer's always right?
No.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Oh, well, hey, man, I'm just going to pay $100 for you to do this full car that costs $500. No, you're not. That's not going to happen.
I think that's funny. That's good.
Let me say this to the young man. You say you own a detail shop, yeah, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. Like I was saying again, you have employees that work for you. So on a sense like that, there's nothing wrong with taking those guys and sit them down sometime and just, you know, show them what you're expecting, you know, as a group, you know, just, you know, show them in your professional wise how you want things done and stuff like this here. But that's what I was saying when you're talking about these other places, when they just put people into these jobs. And
we lost
losing them a little bit.
Okay, we got 15 seconds.
To reiterate on what he was saying. Oh, there's he back.
Yeah. I think we lost him. Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's too far in the mountains.
Yeah. Go ahead. What you were saying though?
Well, to reiterate is that's part of training to me. Is making sure there's customer service. I mean, customer service is huge to me. Because even if you do a bad job, they're going to still love you if you took care of
them. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show...